monthly conversation on climate change and action, led by the children and youth in our community. This is Ours to Protect on KCLR, brought to you by KCLR, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with a television licence fee.
Good evening and welcome to the last in our series when we look at the role of policies and politicians in the protection of the environment. As always, our young people sum it all up, beginning with James.
We always hear about the bad effects of climate change, but is there anything positive that gives you hope for the future of our planet?
My name is David. I don't believe that the future will be safe. What is your opinion on this?
All the wars with Ukraine and Russia and like the Gaza and Palestine and all that, do you think that has a major impact on the climate change? Or is it just kind of like minor bump?
Will politicians and leaders help? And if yes, who most likely won't?
How Donald Trump has introduced loads of tariffs now on different countries. Do you think that could stop climate change?
Why don't all countries push harder to try and put a stop to climate change?
After Putin destroying Ukraine, what do you think the effect about Trump?
By 2030, will we achieve all of the SDGs at the state that we are in now?
My name's Isaac. How can we prove climate change, as big as it is, to world leaders like Donald Trump?
My name is Hugh. How can we help the developing world from suffering from climate change?
All the world leaders, how do we convince them to listen to young people?
Here's what they think themselves.
It's 5 years to achieve all the global goals. I don't think that's going to happen. And then with climate change happening, it's going to deeply and greatly affect the future. I feel a little worried about this because I think it causes natural disasters as well, because of the icebergs melting, floodings as well, and then heat strokes. It'll also affect farmers with their soil as well. I'd like to see maybe changes in the environment.
It's like 5 years till 2030. So everyone in the UN, they may like hop on and try and like do something about it like quick, because it won't all happen by its own. And thinking about it, we have all these young minds here, and I think that will very help because we can think of a lot of solutions. This is like politics on all those people. See, they only tell us what we want to know. We don't see them behind closed doors saying what they're saying. Basically, like, if you don't do it, you better start doing it quick.
The likes of Donald Trump and the North Korean president, Kim Jong-un, the Chinese leader, and Vladimir Putin. I feel like the likes of all them won't, because they find that they're almighty powerful.
In London, they have the ULEZ, Ultra Low Emission Zone. It's like a place where you can only emit so much. And in Amsterdam, they are really kind of focusing on people like biking to places if they're not too far. I wonder if other countries should start making ideas like that.
If you don't put in the resources and the time, you'll never stop it, then it'll just all be gone.
We should listen to a lot more people around the world, because everyone come up with great ideas. If we don't listen to them, and if they have a great idea, we might not be able like to help in that matter. If we listen, we'll be able to help a lot more things that are like climate change and pollution and all that around the world.
If we really, really try and push for it as one whole team, like globally, I feel like we might be able to just barely get there before 2030.
In America, the oil comes from Alaska down to America, but Canada now is adding like an extra like onto it. If they could make like another route from Alaska down to America, it would help a lot more families and get the oil there quicker.
Donald Trump, I don't think he believes in climate change. America is a big country. They produce lots of CO2. So if Donald Trump, if he could find a way to prove it to him, America might start the change, and then that's a massive country dropping its CO2 emissions. I feel like children should be listened to a bit more. After all, it starts if we'll be feeling the effects come the future, so I feel like we start to have a strong opinion on it.
I think some world leaders are very critical, like in the fall of climate change, some, especially Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel.
There's initiatives in Europe, the SDGs, to be met by 2030, but the EU and Europe is a very big community trying to stop it. But for the likes of Russia, China and America, if they don't stop, it's still going to blow in at us. It needs to be a global effort. Everyone needs to be part of it.
Because we're beside the Atlantic, like anything what can wash up on our beaches, I think every country should be in the UN, because that's how we keep in touch and make sure everything's going well.
We need to teach them how to live more sustainably, but they'd have to have serious funding, and some of those countries have dictatorship like leaders, so it's kind of hard for some of these countries to do this. Either they want to follow the rules or not, but it's for their own good and for the future. future of their countries.
World leaders are not taking it seriously. They're, oh, whatever, we're going to stay using this, but it's getting serious now more than ever with the SDGs, because while there is 17 SDGs, there's another, I think, 100 and something goals among them, and they're not being met either. So what do you think we need to do to show world leaders that climate change is real and it needs to be stopped?
A lot of people, like young people, like, oh sure, they won't know none. And young people think like, oh, adults know everything. So I think we should flip it around and give the young people a chance to say what they want.
World leaders start to keep saying the same things, how they're going to stop it. The act of doing something over and over again is an example of stupidity or something. If they keep on saying what they're saying, but it just doesn't work, it's just going to keep getting worse.
A lot of like leaders, like country leaders and all that, they're all like talk to talk, but like if you keep going to talk about them, might as well help and like try do something about it, because if they're just talking amongst each other in like a room, that's not helping the world out.
I think countries do have good schemes in place, but I am a little bit worried about Ireland, because in government now the Green Party are gone, so I don't know if there's enough environmental action going on there.
I remember watching a video on YouTube. It was about a topic called bioengineering. It said that it can either improve climate change a lot or it can make it 10 times worse. I feel like soon enough a country is going to take that risk, and that can be a bit worrying.
I feel like when there's presidential runs, they say they're going to do all this and they never do it. So like, if you're going to talk the talk, then walk the walk.
We always hear of big people trying to save the world, but they're actually not trying to save it. They're just trying to get really popular. They're just trying to use their money to make them look good and get more money out of it, rather than actually trying to save people and giving money rather than trying to take money. If you actually see someone who's trying to be good, don't just look at them and take pictures and say, oh, I'm helping. Actually try and help. Don't just say you are.
In 2023, only 6 of 21 government targets for climate action were fully done. In Europe, how can we make sure leaders do what they say for the environment?
What would you say?
They can write to the local council and maybe up to like the Taoiseach.
And you've been writing to councils as well about the bus option. Yeah.
We need a bus out to our school. Is that fair? Because like we have to walk or drive.
What would it mean to you to have a bus come out here?
It'd be lovely, because then we can just like walk to the bus stop instead of driving. In Europe, children have gone to court to ask leaders to protect the planet and one. Can young people in Ireland help make changes too? Yeah, they can. They can write letters, they can talk to the local council, they can talk to the radio, just get it out.
Senator Malcolm Noonan is the best place to answer those questions. As a politician, he served at pretty much all levels, from councillor to becoming Ireland's first nature minister. He's done much with environmental groups and is a key figure in the Green Party. Added to that, he's not long home from Geneva, where the work he began by getting young people involved in the discussion on climate action and climate change was being outlined in the UN as a world leader. So why did he feel it was important to get young people involved?
The United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child has a fundamental tenet to it, which is that children should have a say in matters that affect their lives, that affect their futures. I can't think of anything more fundamental for the futures of children and young people than climate and nature and the future of the very planet that they will inherit. From our perspective, when I was in government, I initiated Children and Young People's Citizens Assembly for Biodiversity Loss. This had been done in Scotland before, and in a similar process to Citizens Assemblies, people put in an expression of interest and then the participants are randomly selected. So 33 children and young people from the ages of 7 to 17 were selected from across Ireland to participate. It was an amazing experience for them. They were able to travel out to national parks, nature reserves, and see all of the issues that are affecting nature, be it climate change, loss of habitat, pollution, all of these issues. So they came back then to me with a set of 58 recommendations, 55 of which I actually brought to government and had them included in our fourth National Biodiversity Action Plan. So that was really important, that not only did the children and young people give up of their time, and their parents and caregivers give up their time for those 2 weekends, they needed to know that the work that they did was going to be taken on board by government, and it was. From that process, we were in Geneva to present our findings because the work that we have done in Ireland is now being replicated in dozens of countries across the world. So it's been a really fantastic initiative to be involved with, and to have Esther and Oisin, who were the two young people that we brought with us to Geneva, to share their experiences in the United Nations Forum, Human Rights, Democracy and the Rule of Law. And that will go on to inform the next COP negotiations, which will take place in Brazil next month. So this has a really impactful piece of work that these young people have done. And they really feel that they've been on and involved in a journey that is going to have a significant impact on biodiversity in Ireland.
And we've been on a bit of a journey as well with young people from schools across Carluncle, Kenny. We're going to jump into some of their questions that we hope you might be able to help us answer. Yeah. The first is, I don't believe the future will be safe. What's your opinion, especially given that time's running out to achieve the 2030 global goals?
I think there's a lot of very great challenges ahead. But one thing that gives me great hope is that Europe, maybe not Ireland, but Europe is certainly on track to meet its climate goals under the Paris Agreement, which was 10 years old now. And China is moving at pace to rapidly decarbonize its economy as well. So there's a lot of really good initiatives happening, but they can't happen fast enough. And I would always like to give hope to young people that we can get there. The next COP is going to be really important. The next global climate conference is going to be hugely important, that countries can reaffirm their commitments to the Paris 1.5 degrees. And we have to remember that when the Paris Agreement came about in 2015, nobody gave it a chance that 200 countries would get together and form a single agreement on reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. So that says something to me that we can do it. And I always have great hope about that. And even with the likes of the United States pulling out of the Paris Agreement since the new administration has come in, many of the states within the United States are already ploughing ahead with their own decarbonisation and renewable energy projects and biodiversity projects. So I do think we can achieve it, and there is a safe future there for us, but it will take huge effort from all of us and a lot of honesty from politicians.
We've had a lot of honesty from the young people. They're asking us things like, how can we prove climate change to world leaders like Donald Trump in particular? How do we convince them to listen to young people? And do you think will politicians and leaders help with climate action? Who will or who won't?
I wouldn't waste my energy on the likes of Donald Trump, to be truthful. I think young people have to take things into their own hands. You know, young people who are 16, 17 now would be voters in 2 years' time. And I think they have to use their vote by looking at political parties and leaders who will lead on climate action, and that will get rid of the ones who won't. Young people have a really, really powerful voice to exercise their vote and try and bring in politicians who will do the right thing. But also they can currently lobby all of their politicians. They can get involved in projects at a local level where there's lots of groups out there doing woodland regeneration. They're involved in biodiversity projects, tidy towns. Get active and get involved. So don't sit and wait for action to happen. Be the action and be the change that you want to see. I think that's the really critical point I would make to young people. For me, I've been involved in this for over 40 years now. It's hard to believe it. But I was really inspired by Greta Thunberg and the Fridays for Future movement. And look what she's done since with Gaza. And that was a young person who decided, I'm not going to wait for my politicians to do something. I'm going to get up and do it. And she inspired lots and lots of young people to follow suit. And politicians had to listen to her.
How impactful do you think are wars and US tariffs on climate change?
Wars are hugely, hugely impactful. They generate ridiculous amounts of carbon and pollution and waste, notwithstanding the utter destruction they cause to human lives, destruction that's there for generations to come. Even with the Gaza ceasefire now, it's likely that there are ordnances all over Gaza that people will unfortunately come across to devastating consequences. But the manufacture of weapons and of missiles, of bombs, of fighter planes is hugely, hugely damaging to the environment, because it requires the extraction of an awful lot of raw materials. It requires the extraction of precious metals. We hear Donald Trump talking about these precious metals that he's trying to get out of Ukraine and places like that. But this is the reality of it. So war causes huge, huge destruction. Whether the tariffs have any impact on climate remains to be seen. Global trade in itself is highly polluting. It requires large volumes of shipping, large extraction of materials. So there's an awful lot that we can do in our own communities to buy local, to support local produce, try to buy in local shops, not buy online. And I think localise everything. There's a lot of stuff that people are buying online that they could easily buy in a shop here. I really would encourage young people to look out for that. And we saw it too with the Gaza protests. People are asking us to boycott certain companies who are involved in the Gaza war. But there are a lot of companies out there that they're talking about are also involved in highly polluting industries. And I think it's really important that young people educate themselves as to what is the right thing to do and take the power back into your own hands. Absolutely lobby your politicians and talk to them and try and talk to your local councillors, your local TDs, senators, and write to your ministers. But there's a lot you can do in your own home by the stuff that you buy and the stuff that you don't buy that can have a positive impact on nature and on climate. If the stuff you're buying is causing environmental harm in another country, then don't buy it. Try and get your phone to last another year. Try and buy phones that have been reprocessed or reconstituted. Try and buy secondhand clothes, because the garment industry is hugely, hugely polluting developing countries as well. But also do local fundraisers, do little events, coffee mornings, do a gig for Troca or Concern. All of those little things can help. Our greatest power that we have that can't be taken from us is as a consumer. And we can vote with our feet and say, we're not buying that stuff because they're doing awful damage in developing countries. I'm not buying that stuff because they're causing war in Yemen or they're causing war in some other country. So I think all of that is hugely important. And not to waste food, because, you know, food waste is a huge, huge problem. And that causes problems all over the world as well. But primarily, I think you need to be really well versed and to go out and learn and be curious of what's going on in other countries. I don't think we have enough programming online or on TV or on radio about what's going on in other countries. And it's brilliant that you're doing this show. I actually have to say it's fantastic. But we don't see enough programming in the online space or on terrestrial TV or on the radio or podcasts about what's going on in other countries. Some musical artists are brilliant at highlighting what's going on. It's really important that young people find that information for themselves.
Finally, Senator Noonan, is there anything positive that gives you real hope for the future of the planet?
There's lots of things. Over the last 5 years as Minister for Nature, I was involved in a lot of projects with our own National Parks and Wildlife Service. Birds that would have previously been on the brink of extinction, like our corncrakes, are now starting to thrive up in the northwest of the country because of the actions of a lot of people, of farmers, of landowners, and of volunteers. I've seen woodland restoration, peatland restoration, curlews being brought back, lots of other species of animals and birds. I was at the Kildare Wildlife Rescue Biodiversity Conference, and they do amazing work where their injured animals, be they stoats or squirrels or badgers or buzzards, they're taken in there and rehabilitated and put back out in the wild. So lots of really good stuff going on. But I also see great hope internationally in the movement that has been led by young people, an anti-war movement, a peace movement, the movement for LGBT rights, the movement for trans rights, are all being led by young people. All of this is interconnected. And the reason Greta was on the flotilla is because she sees the connection between climate and what's happening in Gaza, because much of Israel's aggression towards Gaza is around resources and water. And a lot of the conflict that we see in the world happening right now is happening because of resources and scarcity of resources. Climate change is going to continue to drive that. And I do think that young people have within them the spark, the imagination and the creativity to go out and say, enough is enough. We're going to stand outside government buildings until something changes. We're going to put up our placards. We're going to protest, and we're not going to vote in politicians who are going to continue to pollute and destroy the world that we have to inherit. I say it because I believe it. I really have great faith and hope in our young people, because all the time I see them out doing stuff, doing amazing stuff, and getting involved in things because they know that a better world is possible.
So, Senator Noonan believes there is hope. Do our series contributors share that view?
I think since we're starting to use what the planet is giving us, like the solar panels, they're giving us electricity rather than coal mines, since that's going to run out, but the sun won't run out for a while.
It doesn't really give me hope, you know, like your wind turbines and like just electricity and stuff like that. That will help out probably in the future. future. And some things in America, there's these little, like, collecting things. They have, like, this track thing. It's on the water. All the rubbish and stuff that goes into water gets collected from it.
I feel like that there's not enough talk on, like, climate change and what's going to happen to the planet. Like, all the topics we've talked about, nothing really mentions about climate change or, like, anything that will be happening to the Earth. So I feel like there needs to be more awareness.
Do you feel let down by adults? Do you feel the problems have been left for you guys to sort?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Like, they just kind of dumped everything on us. They just left. We have to sort everything out. Like, they just died off, so it's like, it's not really good for us. It's like loads of pressure on us because we're like the younger generation and they're not really doing much for us.
It's a bit like when you have an older sibling and your parents ask the two of you to clean up a room or something like that, do chores, and they go in their room, lock the door and tell you to do it. That's how I would see it as.
What would you say to adults?
It's your fault, so you fix it.
Maybe we can put, like, bins in parks. My dad is part of the Tidy Towns Committee and he's, like, trying to make sure there's no, like, litter.
Using bins and also probably, like, reduce plastic waste and also planting, like, trees and stuff. Just, like, see it clean. Like, just grass, like. It's just better because, like, if you're seeing, like, just rubbish everywhere, I don't know, it just makes you feel, like, just annoyed. Like, there's so much bins and, like, people just still littering everywhere. Just put it in the bin, like.
If you saw a friend of yours and you're in a park and they dumped litter on the ground, what would you be saying to them?
Probably just say pick it up and just, like, put it in the bin. Or if they don't do it, I'll just put it in the bin for them. Because the environment and all, and I wouldn't want an animal to get hurt with it or anything.
Maybe every week you could do maybe a walk through a field or maybe through the park with a load of people and just have a load of bags and pick up all the rubbish. Then you can use it to recycle. Most of the people here in Callan are very good at doing it, but there's still some people who don't want to do it and they just want to make bigger work for the others.
Sometimes, like, if you go to a park and you see a bin and, like, it's full and it's overflowing rubbish, like, you can, like, put a new bin bag in because it's just making a pile of rubbish on the ground. I think the adults should show a good example for everybody else, just showing them, like, you should pick up the rubbish.
Integrating the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, into school-equipped students with knowledge and skills to tackle global challenges, promoting global citizenship and sustainable practices. In school, we are constantly learning about climate change, sustainability, and general environmental awareness. The Green Schools Committee are always raising awareness and running initiatives which create a culture of sustainability across the school. Ireland promised to cut pollution by 51% by 2030, but we've only cut about, like, 10%. What would happen if Ireland doesn't meet its climate promises? Well, it's just going to be litter. It's going to be a wasteland of litter. Also, the EU can fine Ireland if it doesn't follow the rules on climate. Who checks Ireland is doing its job to fight climate change? Well, the EU. They're trying their best. Could the Gardaí help stop people from littering or dumping rubbish? Can we have special environmental Gardaí to help with recycling and keeping places clean? Most likely, it would work. It could happen.
I think there's a bit of hope for the future. Like, if we do our part, maybe we'll, like, succeed. I feel it's kind of up to everybody, but it's kind of set on, like, people that, like, do the return kind of scheme. And if you're not going to recycle and if you're not going to help, that, like, you're kind of just leaving it up to anybody else to do it.
I think all the adults just kind of left it up to the generation after them because they weren't bothered to help out, and then they were just leaving rubbish all over the place. Like, before the return logo came in, there was just plastic bottles all over the place, and now you'd see people waiting to see if they'd find, like, a plastic bottle.
Do you think there's any hope?
Yeah, I'd say there's a little bit of hope. If we all do our part, then, like, there'll be hope.
Yeah, because if everybody does the part, it could, like, just even start with, like, a couple of people saying it, and then everybody gets in, then there's loads of people doing it, and if everybody does it, there's going to be, like, nobody doing the bad thing, and then, like, all the messes could be cleaned up. The return scheme is really good, but some people are just like, oh, it doesn't matter, like, but, like, if everybody knows what's going to happen, they probably will show, like, more like that, oh, it's actually important, let's do this, instead of just throwing, say, a bottle around the ground.
I do think there's, like, a little hope for the future, because it's not really entirely left up to us, because a lot of
adults are doing their part. Like, I see a lot of them would have huge bags of, like, plastic bottles and stuff, returning them. But yeah, I think it could be hard for, like, a lot of people because they did have, like, a routine and they wouldn't, like, have been recycling, and it would have been harder for them to get out of the routine. So it kind of is, like, we have to do a bit more.
I think there's quite a lot of hope for the future because there's been a lot of change since, like, my parents were small. There used to just be one bin and everything would be thrown in there. And I think in every generation, it's always left up to them because the adults now, all this stuff was left up to them because that's just how it works. And I think if we're all conscious of it and if we all try and change it, I think it could be, like, very good.
I definitely think there will be a little bit of hope for the future. But I think if everyone just pitches in the change, make some small changes every now and then, maybe less driving and not like half an hour in the showers and stuff.
I think there is maybe a good bit of hope for the future because I heard like one time there was talks on like hydrogen cars. There's a lot of things that people are saying like on the news that they think will happen, such as the hydrogen cars, which I definitely don't think is going to happen to like 20, 30 years time because all the factories, they have to look for new designs and that might take a long time.
I think there is hope for the future because like if everyone just does like a little thing, that can be a lot. Like just like turning off a light when you're leaving a room, or like if you're going to a match, just a few people go in the car.
I think there is hope, and if everyone just plays their part, I feel like it will work. If you're going to a match, there's no point in people going up in pairs. You may as well just go up in big groups of cars.
I think there's always hope. If everybody like does a little thing, that will turn into a big thing and that'll be able to help.
There is some hope if everybody works together because the older generations, like all of them, have kind of pitched in each generation to create like the world we live in now. There's good sides and there's bad sides, but everyone now needs to help or there's no point. Every government needs to focus on it because they're focusing on other small things like houses and stuff, but like there's no point in houses if there's no world to put the houses on.
There is hope, but we all need to do a big bit, like closing doors, turning off lights, shorter showers. When you're straightening your hair, turn off this straightener, you can turn it back on, switching off switches on the wall. There's so much we all need to do and help, but if you're just gonna think, oh, everyone else will do it, I'll just throw this bottle, like you can't do that because then you're the problem and you're saying, oh, the government's not doing this, government's not doing that, but you're the one causing the problems. Before you start pointing fingers at anyone else, you need to make sure you're doing the right thing and that you're not the problem.
I think there is hope for the future if we all chip in, but if the government chip in as well. They want us to buy electric cars and help for the future. That means they should make it less expensive and to put less tax on things because no one can afford the stuff if it's too expensive.
Some of the experts who've been involved in our series have been reacting too. Erin Murphy is a designer, maker and facilitator working in sustainable textiles, and she's also head judge of the Rediscovery Centre's National Sustainable Fashion Competition, ReLove Fashion.
We get more and more people taking part in it, which is really, really heartening. Part of what we do as part of the shortlisting process is that we actually hold virtual interviews with the first round of shortlisted participants and actually speaking to the young people and hearing how the ReLove Fashion journey has opened their eyes or to the impact of the fashion industry or how they've changed their behaviour a little bit because of it or their enjoyment of the creative process or their enjoyment of the deepening connections with the friends they've taken part with. And then we host an exhibition of the finalist outfits, seeing that exhibition where they're all up on mannequins, and just the creativity and the amount of work and effort that the young people have put into them is just really heartening. I always come away from it all kind of going, wow, it's a lot of work, but it's really worthwhile because these people are really making the most of the platform that the ReLove Fashion competition is providing, and it's a lot of the time starting people off on a particular journey. We all have a ripple effect, so the more of us that are making more conscious decisions, the bigger the ripples will become.
Paddy Houlihan of Carlo Beekeepers had this to say.
The number of questions that we would be asked in the farmers market or any of the areas, we also are over in the Tullow Show last summer, and the variety and type of questions we get asked, and especially by young people, I have absolutely no fear for the future whatsoever.
We put the question to senior engineer with the Southeast Energy Agency, Alex Hamilton.
I absolutely
absolutely have hope for the future, Edwina, because of all the children that are asking these great questions. I actually work with many schools and we speak to kids in the schools. I help train the teachers in the SEI's programme of energy and education, it's called. So I think there is hope, and there's hope because of these children that we need to get the message to them. They need to keep asking us these tough questions, because when we're asked these tough questions, then we act. But also by them asking these questions, we can help teach them there is change needed. So absolutely, there is hope with all these great kids that are coming through. And it's their job now. It's going to be their job. It's their job to learn as well. When you see one piece of rubbish on the floor, one person's thrown rubbish. If every single one of those kids walk into school through rubbish, well, now we've got a really dirty road. And it's exactly the same with our energy. One person switching off a light isn't going to do a lot. But if every single one of those kids goes home and doesn't switch it, you know, switches off their bedroom lights when they go to school in the morning, etc. So it's about all of these little things that we can all do.
The biodiversity officers with Carlow County Council, Shane Casey, and Kilkenny County Council, Bernadette Maloney, had this response.
We have a steep hill to climb, but I think there's a lot of positivity out there. I think there's an attitude from the public. I know from when I did my public consultation last year with the Biodiversity Action Plan, people were saying, look, we're behind you. You know, what do you need? What needs to be done? Also, there's great positivity from the county's biodiversity working group. So that's like over 20 stakeholders around the county. It's going to be a collective effort, but I think everybody has kind of woken up to say, look, this crisis is real and immediate action is required. It's really up to all of us to play our part. But I think there's more awareness out there. And I think there's more people now going to turn, I suppose, their concern into action, which I think is very positive. So I hold great hope for the future.
I'd have to echo that. Since I came to Carlow 3 years ago, I've been overwhelmed with the level of goodwill towards the work that I'm doing here in Carlow as biodiversity officer, in terms of trying to work with groups, work with landowners, work with farmers, work with schools to better the biodiversity of the county. The level of goodwill that has been behind that effort has been absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, I'm really hopeful for the future. We talk a lot about children being the future, but actually, you know, there's an awful lot of adults and elderly people as well that kind of recognise the lessons that we can learn from the past and apply them to the future to improve for all of us. That's really, really great to see.
A lot of hope so there, but acknowledgement that work still needs to be done in many sectors. Now, as part of our series in collaboration with Metalab Harvard Climate Institute for Climate Sound, we're aiming to map climate change through sound with a recording device installed in a secluded section of the more than 50-acre grounds of Kilkenny College. And students there have been listening to some of the audio collected so far.
I'm Alex Waugh and I'm a border boy in second year in Kilkenny College. There's a good few birds and stuff around, just it's nice and like gives a bit of peace.
Is that something you'd regularly hear around?
Yeah, I think I heard it this morning as a few times a day maybe. That's cool. It's interesting. Just the noise of it. Just kind of sounds like rustling. Crows, maybe? It doesn't sound as clear and it sounds like something's going on.
Does it surprise you that both those pieces of audio came from exactly the same spot, just at different times of the day?
Yeah, a bit. I wouldn't really expect that now. Even though it's in the city, like, there's heaps of stuff going on. I always see, like, birds going around doing stuff in science, catching, like, flies and all. There's loads of wildlife. Mostly birds, like, but we've seen a few frogs going around and just loads of bugs. I saw a hedgehog there a few weeks ago outside the boarding office, but I'd say that's the coolest thing I've saw so far.
My name's Lucy Dunn, I'm in third year at Kilkenny College. You notice a good few rabbits and stuff down in the hollow, but you wouldn't really hear much because it's like it's a school, it's fairly loud, there's always cars and children going everywhere. In the evenings and stuff like that, you see rabbits or foxes. You see them like hopping around down the end of the pitch and they go off and they chase each other. It's really nice to watch, it's really cute. I'd say they're fairly happy, but I feel if there was like a match or something down there, they wouldn't be around. But they're fairly happy to like just do whatever they want, you know. Sounds like it could be kind of crickets or something in like the forest over there or something. I've never heard it before though. Sounds like it's kind of in the morning.
It's like the birds in the rain. Heard a little tweet there in the background. I wouldn't really be out in the rain. You probably would hear it if it was quiet enough. I feel like you could hear the birds. There's loads of natural wildlife around in the forest, like in the woods over there and down the hollow. And all the hedges and stuff, there's loads of different wildlife. In the mornings, it's really quiet. Like when we're going to breakfast, it's really quiet. You might hear something. And then obviously during the school day, it's really busy, so you wouldn't really see much. You'd see the odd bird around. But there definitely is lots of different things to be looking at. And if you're paying attention, you'd see the rabbits and all the birds and some foxes.
And that's where we bring the second Hours to Protect series to a close. Huge thanks to the young people and staff at St. Bridget's National School in Bagnallstown, Bunscull, Macaulay Rice and Callan, as well as School of the Holy Spirit and Gaelscoil Ossory in Kilkenny for leading our programmes. To the very many experts who answered the questions posed and who gave us tips along the way. To the students, staff and management of Kilkenny College, and to all here at KCLR who helped out, in particular Deirdre Drummy, Elle Malone and Ken Maguire, but most of all to all of you for listening. If you missed any of the episodes and the tips contained in them, you'll find them all on the KCLR website. Hours to Protect is funded by Commission the Man with a television licence fee and is in partnership between KCLR and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland.